Genesis 1:26b, "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea," etc. To man, the most beautiful of God's creatures, who possesses the knowledge of God and is the image of God, in which image shines forth the similitude of the divine nature in an enlightened reason, in righteousness, and in wisdom, is now assigned dominion. Adam and Eve are made rulers of the earth, of the sea, and of the air. This dominion is not only committed to them by the design and counsel of God, but by His expressed command. We must, in the first place, consider this great matter in a negative and exclusive sense, that it is not said to any beast that it should have any dominion. And in the next place, we must view the matter in an absolute sense, that all animals, nay, the earth itself with all created living things and all generated from them, are subjected to the dominion of Adam, whom God, by His vocal and expressed command, constituted king over the whole animal creation. For these are the words which both Adam and Eve heard when God said, "And let them have dominion." Here, therefore, a naked man without arms, without walls, nay, without any vestiture of his own body, but standing alone in his own naked flesh, finds himself lord over all birds, all wild beasts, and all fishes, etc. This portion of the divine image also we have utterly lost, so that now we cannot even conceive in thought that fullness of joy and pleasure which Adam must have felt at the sight of the whole animal creation before him, and at the sense he was lord of them all. For now all things are full of leprosy and full of stupidity and, as it were, of death. For who can now reach even into thought a conception of that portion of the divine image which Adam and Eve possessed, by which they understood all the affections, the senses, the feelings, and the powers of all the animals of the creation? And yet, what would have been their dominion over all created animals without this knowledge? There is, indeed, in this life a certain knowledge of God in the saints, derived from the Word and the Holy Spirit. But that knowledge of all nature, that understanding of the qualities of all trees and the properties of all herbs, that clear discernment of the natures of all the beasts, these are endowments of our nature now utterly lost and irreparable. If, therefore, we would talk about a philosopher, let us talk about Adam. Let us speak of our first parents, while they were as yet pure and unfallen through sin. For Adam and Eve had the most perfect knowledge of God, and how indeed could they be ignorant of Him whose very image they possessed and felt in themselves? Moreover, of the stars also, and of the whole science and system of astronomy, they had the most certain knowledge. Moreover, that all these endowments were enjoyed by Eve as well as by Adam is quite manifest from the speech of Eve to the serpent, when she answered him concerning the tree in the midst of paradise. From this speech it appears evident that she knew the end for which she was created, and she shows also the author from whom she had received that knowledge, for her reply to the serpent was, "God hath said." Genesis 3, verse 3. Eve, therefore, did not hear these things from Adam only, but she was by nature so pure from sin and so full of the knowledge of God that she saw and understood the Word of God for herself. As to us, in our present state, we still possess indeed some certain dull and, as it were, dead remnants of this knowledge. But all animals, besides, are altogether void of such understanding. They know not their Creator, nor their origin, nor their end, nor whence, nor why they were created. No other animals, therefore, possess anything whatever of this similitude of God. Hence it is that the psalm contains this exhortation, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding." Psalm 32, verse 9. Although, therefore, this image of God be almost wholly lost, there is, nevertheless, still remaining a mighty difference between man and all other animals of God's creation. But originally, before the sin of the fall, the difference was far greater and far more illustrious. While as yet Adam and Eve fully knew God and all his creatures, and were wholly absorbed in the goodness, righteousness, and worship of God. Hence also there was, between Adam and Eve themselves, a singular unity of minds and of wills. Nor was there in the whole world an object sweeter to Adam, or more beautiful in his eyes, than his Eve. Nor is the wife, as the heathen say, a necessary evil. And why call they a wife an evil? The reason is manifest. They know nothing of the cause of evil. It was Satan. He it was who thus marred and corrupted woman's original nature. The influence, however, which we now have over beasts in this life, the use which we make of them, and the things we cause them to do, are not affected by that dominion which Adam possessed, but by industry and art. Thus, birds and fishes, as we see, are taken by deception and stratagem, and beasts are tamed in various degrees by art. For those animals which are the most domesticated, as geese, fowls, etc., were of themselves, and by their own particular nature, wild. This leprous nature of ours, therefore, still retains, through the goodness of God, some appearance of dominion over the other creatures. This dominion, however, is very trifling indeed, and far, very far, beneath the original dominion. For under that there was no need of art or stratagem to give man influence over the beast. Every creature was put absolutely under a state of obedience to the voice of God, when Adam and Eve were commanded by that voice to have dominion over them. We do retain, therefore, the name and the semblance, and, as it were, the naked title of the original dominion, but the reality itself is almost wholly lost. Still, it is good for us to know and to think upon this state of things, that we may sigh after that day which shall come, in which shall be restored unto us all things we lost by the sin of Adam in paradise. For we look for that life which Adam also ever held in expectation, and well indeed may we wonder and render thanks unto God, as indeed we do, that we, so deformed by sin, so dull, so stupefied, and so dead by it, should be enabled, through the merits and benefits of Christ, to look with assurance for that same glory of a spiritual life, which Adam might also have looked for with all assurance, without the dying merits of Christ, if he had remained unfallen in that animal life which possessed the image of God.